A little happy birthday to Chipper from Stevie Wonder. How about that? We have Stevie Wonder come here in studio and sing happy Dave's writing number for me. 85th birthday for Chip Scoggins. You sound and look so much younger than 85.
Well, I feel 85 today. I went to visit my daughter in Chicago, and I came back. Well, I guess I took a cold with me to Chicago, and I came back very under the weather.
Oh, sorry about that.
So, yeah, so being feeling crummy on your birthday is not the best, but no. I appreciate it, and I am slightly younger than 85.
Can I guess? I'm going to guess. Dave, let's guess. I'm going 56. Dave Harrigan, what's your
that
guess?
That was the number I had, so Price is Right rules. I'll go 57.
Lower.
24. 54.
Close, 53.
53.
Wow.
You should feel insulted by us.
You look terrible for 53 is what we're saying.
Yeah. I mean, did not.
I did go I did feel old because I went and did an interview for my upcoming football across Minnesota column, and an assistant coach from a high school came over. He's like, I've been reading you since I was a kid. I'm like, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Can you think of the best birthday of your life? Is there one for some circumstance really stands out?
Boy, oh boy. None that really, I mean, obviously your 18th and 21st stand out, and then they all kind of, you lose interest after a while, right? Like, at what point do you get to, where you get to, it's just like, it's another day. Like, today I'm sitting here writing football across Minnesota. Like, I forgot it's my birthday. I don't know, nothing like milestone or anything, you know, magnificent, other than just feeling the love that you get on Facebook.
Yeah.
Facebook should be created just for your birthday, right?
Yeah, probably should be.
You get so many messages there. There's so much nonsense on Facebook and social media, but on your birthday, it is kind of nice. But nothing. I can't really pinpoint one as being extravagant.
Okay,
I'm a simple man. Chad.
You're a simple man. Okay, you and the bride. Do you have plans tonight?
We don't. Part of it's because my Mondays are very busy.
Yeah.
But also, we went and saw our daughter in Chicago over the weekend and kind of treated that as a birthday getaway, which is fabulous. And I saw you tweet this many months ago that I know it's not technically summer, but it sort of felt like it. There's few cities in America or the world better than Chicago in the summer.
Yes.
You're right.
Thank you.
It is. I live there. My wife and I lived there for 2 years before I moved here. And we did it wrong. We lived in the suburbs. Now, my daughter lives in that trendy, cool area around, you know, Northside, Wrigley, Lincoln Park. Holy
cow. There's stuff going on there.
Oh, my goodness, did I do it wrong. Just fabulous. The energy that city has on a beautiful weekend day is incredible.
It's now Harrigan here. You want to try to explain your bizarre comparison with Minneapolis and Chicago? Because it's wrong, just to prepare you, Chip. But go ahead, Dave.
Well, it's not necessarily a comparison. It's just to say that I feel Chad saying Chicago is this amazing summer town. And I agree it is.
Thank you.
But I believe Minneapolis is its equal as being a wonderful summer town.
Minneapolis is a very fun, nice summer town. It does not compare with Chicago.
We got a lot of good lakes. They've only got one great one. Enjoy your time with the waves smacking in the face while you try to go out swimming.
I hate to break the news to you. They do have a couple other lakes.
That's it.
They have a couple. Okay. When you were with, so it's the three of you, what are you doing in Chicago to a little bit of celebrating your birthday, but most importantly, mom and dad seeing their child?
Yeah, so we got to see her new apartment, which was she moved into after a year. She found a new one with three of her sorority sisters in a great neighborhood, which is just outstanding. And then she made we went to a very classy Italian restaurant. I wish I could remember the name. That was just outstanding on Friday night.
Olive Garden?
The breadsticks, yeah. and then we took a water taxi On Saturday morning, went and had lunch in Chinatown, which was great. I'd never been there, even though I'd lived there. And then, as young kids are want to do, they had a Halloween thing she did with her friend Saturday night. So
yeah.
She pretty much cut us off at around 4 yeah. o'clock on Saturday. That was it. Like, business over. So my wife and I went and got a deep dish pizza.
Oh,
Saturday
oh
night.
My God. I mean, seriously. Well, are you done. Kidding me? You're one of the greatest people ever. I'm so happy to have you on the show. Happy calling your friend.
Is this it, man.
I mean, the bad. Go just have some bad lasagna, okay? Honestly, it's just disgusting deep dish pizza. Okay, let's go to the Bears here since you're in Chicago.
Yeah.
To me, it's not even close. The most memorable play of the weekend. And it's not just because Jayden Daniels, ASU's own, of course, he left and then won the Heisman Trophy at LSU. Another great moment for ASU football that he stays back there and completes the Hail Mary to win the game. But let me go again. Let me make sure. Is it Tyreek Stevenson? Okay.
Stevenson, yeah.
He's number 29, right? He is barely in bounds. He is just while Daniels is floating and just trying to stay alive to get his wide receivers in the end zone, just to fling it as far as he did. Stevenson is just taunting Commander fans, and then at the end he kind of jogs back to the middle and may have been the guy to deflect it to the Commander's wide receiver, and they win a game. I am the Bears organizationship, I don't let him in the locker room. He can helmet on or off. He can walk out. He can climb into the stands. He can walk out that way. I don't care what apology. I'm not known for my patience. I would have shown it right there. If I was Papa Bear Hallis would have rose from his grave and kicked him in the groin and said, "You're not coming in the locker room." What a knucklehead.
Well, one of the all-time great blunders by an athlete.
Yes.
When you look at the way he was gesturing to the crowd and posing and doing all this, the play has already started.
Yes.
And here's the thing. I saw that he put an apology out on Twitter last night. Does he do that if there's not video of him?
Nope.
No chance.
No chance. No exactly chance. Right.
That is damage control. He's embarrassed. It'll be interesting to see how he is received in the locker room. Now, players tend to rally around each other, but that you have a lot to come back from when you're doing that, when you're showboating and taunting the crowd in a play's go. It's not like he was doing it and then got lined up and the play happened. This is while the play was going on,
exactly.
And then he has to run over. And then he was the one that tipped it, too, right?
I believe
I saw.
Correct. Minor point.
So I can't even imagine his embarrassment when he saw that in video. I hope he was embarrassed. It was a all-timer.
Okay, here's one more embarrassed, and then we're going to come back and talk Gopher football and the World Series. Vikings going to play Anthony Richardson and the Colts Sunday. Is he at a pitch count? I mean, how many plays does Anthony Richardson plan on playing? I've never watched this before. By the way, he's a kid. What is Anthony Richardson, 22, 23? He took himself out of the game for a play because he was tuckered, because he was tired. You're watching the game and you're thinking, well, is he injured again? Because he's been injured a bunch. Here comes Flacco.
Yeah.
No, he was tired. How do you think that's playing in the locker room?
I think I might have made up something.
Yes.
I pulled a hammy. Something. I don't think I would have said I was tired. I needed a blow there for that play. Yeah, that's. Everybody on that field's tired and exhausted.
Right.
For the quarterback to say that when everybody's looking to you, for anybody really, but for the quarterback to say that, I'm sure there probably were some eye rolls and like, hey man, everybody's tired, you know, but we have to fight through it. So that was not a good look either, but I still think it pales in comparison to taunting the crowd.
Yes, I do too.
While a play is going on.
The Gophers have their best throwing quarterback since when? Let's discuss that with Chip Scoggins from the Star Tribune on his birthday. So kind of him to join us on his birthday when he's not feeling great. Back with Chipper in seconds on CCO. I heard Pete and Dave discussing this yesterday. You've covered this team right from where you came here, left Chicago, and you also know the history of this program. When we're talking just a throwing quarterback, not a runner, not a combo player,
yeah,
but just as a thrower, how far back do we go where we have a Gopher quarterback who's a better thrower than the guy who's quarterback right now?
Yeah, it's I thought Adam Weber had a lot of arm talent. Now, his career was so impacted by the shuffling of offense coordinators. I think he had five different offense coordinators or something.
Right.
Basically one every year. I thought Brian Cupido turned into a really good college quarterback by his senior year. He left as the all-time leading passer. But this guy, Max Brosmer, I didn't really know what to expect because he was coming from the FCS level, and it's just hard to know how that's going to translate. But I think you have to credit PJ and his offensive coordinator, Greg Harbaugh, for looking at his video and looking past the fact that he was playing at New Hampshire against lesser competition and mm-hmm. saying, this will translate to the Big Ten because what we see, we like, and they picked the right guy. I mean, this guy, I think Brosmer's two best attributes are his ability to process what's happening very quickly on the field, come off his reads, go through his reads, and then also his accuracy. Look at where he's placing the ball. I mean, he's not – not only is he not throwing interceptions, he's not – he's giving his receivers a chance to make plays, and the balls are at their feet. They're not behind them. He's putting them on their body in position where they can make plays. The thing that he has done is they've changed their identity.
Yes, I mean, they have.
They really don't, they don't run the ball well at all. I mean, I looked at the score on my phone the other day when we were walking around Chicago. It was like 28-0 or 24, whatever the score was, and they had -8 yards rushing.
Yeah. Well, how many times have you written it? How many times have the two of us discussed,
yes,
will he ever change? And I think we did it opening day, and I sat here and told you I don't think he would, and I think you said, well, I'm going to be open-minded, but he'll go back to it. And I wondered early, but I just want to emphasize the accuracy. And clearly the one 2019 Tanner Morgan had that. And you're right in Weber. He's the one for me, even more than Cupido, where if Weber could have the same guy, I wonder. Yeah. Brosmer fits it in windows that most Gopher quarterbacks the last 30, 40 years, they just couldn't do on a regular basis. And he's doing that on a regular basis.
Yeah, and I looked this stat up this morning, Chad, because 2019 was, you know, the great year offense. They put up a lot of points. And, you know, you had Rashad Bateman and Ty Johnson and, you know, some other complimentary pieces. And you had said that offense throws the ball a lot. Well, Morgan averaged 25 passes a game.
Yeah.
Brosmer's averaging 31. So they're throwing it a lot more than mm-hmm. what they did. And that just shows the level of PJ's trust in him. And if you go back to Saturday's game, where they have the huge lead late in the first half, they have the ball. I forget how much time was it, 30 seconds or whatever. Old PJ probably would have taken a knee and just gone to the locker room and said, you know what, that was a great first half. We're not going to do anything to kind of jeopardize that. He kept his foot on the pass. He said, I have a quarterback going against a Maryland secondary that's atrocious. They're terrible pass defense. But he knew that this quarterback could get him down the field, and they went and got three more points. And it just goes to show you that I think it's changed the way PJ manages the game.
That's what I was just going to ask you. Okay, so he's here and gone because it's 1 year.
Yeah.
Lindsey's the redshirt freshman. Maybe they go with him. Maybe they go with somebody else. Obviously, the kid you saw in Southern California, pure freshman. When we're at the same point last year, a year from now, excuse me, do you think, okay, this is Fleck, he's turned the page, or we need to see it at least for one more quarterback before we believe he's adapted to how most people are approaching offense in college football now?
Well, I think it's entirely dependent on what the quarterback shows him. And we've seen when he doesn't trust the quarterback and or receivers, he just shuts it down and goes into run mode. And part of that, yes, was because of Mo Ibrahim, and he could carry the ball 35 times a game, and they had ultimate trust in him. But a big part of that was because they didn't trust the passing game. And so if he has that kind of confidence in Lindsey or Pollock, whoever the, you know, the incoming freshman or whoever, whoever the guy might be, I would hope that this season is showing him that, you know what? Life is a lot easier when you have a quarterback that can pass the ball. And if you look around the conference right now, the teams that are really struggling, Iowa, Wisconsin, a number of these programs that don't have a quarterback that they can rely on, they're really struggling to move the ball and score points. And so I would hope that this is a sign of PJ willing to be flexible when he finds the right guy, and they have the right guy.
You're in Chicago with your wife and your daughter, so I doubt you're watching much of game one. And game two also was a very good game. But game one in a World Series was about as good as it could be. And I get it. It's not game six or seven. And every year on this time, we get to, okay, well, here's what Puck did. Here's what Jack Morris did. And it was a long, long time ago, by the way. But considering not just Freeman's home run, but that amazing part, but everything else that led to it, including the coverage of it, which was just spectacular.
Yeah.
It was one of those national sports moments that baseball, even in the World Series, they just don't get enough, and they had it on a Friday night.
Well, how often are you going to get fan interference on a home run and a grand slam walk-off?
Yes.
In a World Series game?
Right.
Talk about, like, if you're covering that on deadline, like, oh, my gosh. I was trying to follow it a little bit, bouncing around Chicago and on my phone. You know, the World Series should have the drama in the theater in itself, but when you get Freddie Freeman and everything he's gone through with his child and that family, yes. They come up there, first pitch, it's a grand slam walk-off.
Goes to his dad. With the
come
screen.
On. Yeah, his dad's pitching him batting practice growing up. I mean, like, that's a movie script, Chad. That's not a story. That's a movie script, right?
Yeah, that is good. You are a great human being, and you need to hear that again. You are universally liked for what you do, and most importantly, as a human. So have a fabulous, happy birthday, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, brother. Love you, man.
He is the best. Chip Scoggins. It's 29 past 2. Back to Dean Phillips' comments and where we're at with the race as we jump back into politics since we're 8 days out. Jason also join us before we turn it over to him in 3 on the home of the Twins, CCO. Dean Phillips on the show starting. He's candid. He's honest. You don't have to agree with him. But he often makes news when he's on the show. Here's what he thinks about Kamala Harris and how she's ran her campaign so far.
And we'll make good decisions based on the best interests of the country. But I'm not going to lie and tell you that I think that she's run a good campaign. I think the people surrounding her have done a very poor job of introducing her, her platform, her principles, what she would do differently than President Biden, and so many of the basic elements of campaigning that generate interest and invitation.
I've made it clear before this interview, I agree with that point 100%. And I'll repeat what I said 2 weeks ago. I'll repeat what I said following the Dean conversation. Considering the circumstances. First of all, on this show in July of 2022, I said Joe Biden should not run for office. And then later that month, I asked Dean Phillips the same question. He became the first congressman who said the same thing. And I've seen a lot of cheap shots at Phillips today. Phillips was 1,000% right. The number of Democrats who, in my opinion, are frauds about this, taking cheap shots at Phillips. He told the truth about Joe Biden 2 years ago. And now so many of you are supporting Harris. Just admit, Phillips and the few others who were willing to say it were telling the truth, that he was not the same person in 2020. 2020, did I think he was up for the job? I did. I think the evidence was overwhelming about his decline. And I think, first of all, Biden should have announced it then. He said he's going to be a transition candidate. But he loved it. He wanted to be president his whole life, and he stayed too long until he absolutely embarrassed himself and let Donald Trump, of all people, embarrass him in the debate. Consider they had such short time. I get the pushback from people. They still shit out a mini campaign. And if Democrats still want to be mainly true to their core, just like Republicans are going to, although that switched, it's just whatever Trump's for now, that's your core. They should have had a mini primary. And I think for circumstance, they would have been better off picking somebody than the vice president because she doesn't separate herself from Joe Biden. Now, on what Dean Phillips thinks could happen with the election, including if the election was today.
It's not the way I want it to go, but I have to be forthright. Anecdotally, based on the metrics that I'm seeing in the polls and my intuition, yes. I would have to say that I'm feeling that Donald Trump will be the next president.
That's as of now. Who knows what can take place? Again, what could stick to Trump? Seems like nothing. I've been saying that, a couple weeks now? I think I'm leaning that Trump's going to win. There's a 0.0% chance I'm ever voting for Trump or ever considering voting for Trump. But this is the game, because a lot of Democrats are mad at Phillips because he's saying this. You are allowed to heavily criticize Donald Trump and also say the person you're going to vote for hasn't lived up to what you think she's capable of, or the individual running the office should be held that responsible. Donald Trump and held the standards, the true MAGA folks will not. He's judged unlike most politicians. That doesn't mean we can't hold other politicians up to standards. I wouldn't trust Donald Trump leading a tour of the White House. Now, last night, did somebody tell an offensive joke? Yeah, they did. By the way, a comedian who I'd barely heard of, Dave, who tells offensive jokes on a regular basis. So Trump White House, the Trump administration and the folks running the campaign, the Trump campaign, should not have been surprised by this, the cheap shot about Puerto Rico. They quickly tried to separate themselves from that, which they normally don't do. There were other B-level people who said some offensive things. To me, yeah, it does matter what other people say. But I'm more worried about Trump and Harris right now. And if last night Donald Trump said stuff that's new to you, you're just not paying attention. And by the way, Donald Trump, I believe John Kelly, that Donald Trump opined about Hitler and the loyalty his generals, he thought, provided, even though some of Hitler's generals were trying to kill him. Trump in history,
minor point.
Doesn't pay attention. Do I think Donald Trump is even close to Adolf Hitler? I do not in any way think he is close to Adolf Hitler, who gassed and killed 6 million people. Do I want him anywhere near the White House? I do not. Do I think that was a Nazi type rally last night? I do not. He wanted a rally in the town that he misses massively, in the biggest arena in the city. Did he have some individuals who said frightening, staggering comments? Yeah, that happens on a regular basis with this guy. The awkwardness with he and Melania, oh, my God. Just stop it. No one's buying. But no, I don't think Donald Trump and Adolf Hitler are close. Does he say frightening things that he will have more power to carry out, which is part of the reason why I won't spend a second considering voting for him? The enemy within? And he is talking. He says, Nancy Pelosi, He says the husband. But this guy who made fun of Paul Pelosi getting attacked over and over and over again. A guy who could have killed Paul Pelosi. Is he talking about potentially having to use the military and the guard against his enemies? Is he willing to make deals with other dictators across the globe? Does he want extraordinary power that the Constitution doesn't afford a president? Yes, he does. You're also allowed to look at his opponent, to me, and say more than she's not just him. If you want to, that's fine. You also can be someone like myself who I'm not voting for anybody MAGA, but I'm not ashamed of any votes that I've cast for Republicans when they actually were Republicans and they were center-right folks. We need more John McCain, Mitt Romney, Jim Ramstad, not Arne Carlson now, because Arne Carlson's been a Democrat for, I don't know, 15 years, but Arne Carlson back then.
Yeah.
We don't have those anymore because if they speak up, they're called a rhino. No, the rhino's Donald Trump. He's the one who was a Democrat for decade after decade after decade. And if Romney would have won, he probably would have ran in 16 against Romney as a Democrat. He's just an opportunist, and it's worked out magnificently. He won. He got beat. He's lying, thinks he won. And he's locked in a tight race. So you are allowed, even though nothing sticks to Trump, and that should be never forgotten for his core supporters, to still have a standard for Harris. Do you agree or disagree with that?
You are allowed to have a standard. Of course you're allowed to have a standard. And that's what makes this election so darn difficult to figure out, to analyze, for the media to cover. Because the candidates are obviously so vastly different, not speaking policy at all, but just in simply demeanor, in simply how they speak, in simply how they act, in simply their, you know, their personas. And I get why the media, I should say why people complain about the media being critical of Harris, being, in their mind, overly critical, saying, look, you're nitpicking her speeches, you're nitpicking, you know, her interviews, saying, well, she's a little word salad here and not answering this here, when Donald Trump is on the other side. I totally understand why people are making that argument and why they are blaming the media for that. But I think it absolutely goes the other way of, if you don't think the media has been harsh on Donald Trump for going on 8+ years now and pointing out not just the small things, but obviously the gigantic, the enormous, massive things, then I can't help you. Because I mean, the media has been 10 times more harsh on him than relentless. They have been on her. Yes. And so, you know, complain all you want. The media's, yes, treating Kamala Harris like a normal presidential candidate when you just simply cannot do that with Donald Trump.
And by the way, if you look at, if you view them as traditional outlets who will also hold Harris accountable, it's not as if those outlets don't follow up on Trump constantly.
Yeah.
When he says things that until 2015 you would not believe a presidential contender or a president would say. And if they did, you say, campaign ended then. I said numerous times, 2015, 2016, well, that's it. He's done. I was 1,000% wrong. He was the president.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they don't hold him accountable. And by the way, do I think democracy is going to end the next 4 years? I don't. I think it's overwhelmingly clear, though, that the guardrails he had in the first term will not be there. and there will be more concerns about the Constitution just as a bystander. There's a story now today where they're looking at, if they win, getting their appointments approved quickly without the complete background check.
That's good.
Feeling like that slowed them down too much. And I forget how to pronounce his last name, Boris Epstein, who's a total Trump acolyte who's in the inner circle. By the way, he couldn't get his background check approved. He was involved in the fake elector nonsense. And he's the one who's pushing to get individuals into positions quicker with a less stringent background check. That's the guy who is going to be in charge. So there are reasons to be concerned. This idea, and by the way, the Biden administration incompetent on the immigration battle and securing the border. But if you're not concerned about how they're going to approach just a total roundup, because they don't articulate, there's some level of its bluster, and he talks and talks and talks. But there are some things that I think even moderate Republicans are going to look at if he's president and say, holy bleep, he's really doing this. And you're able to have a conversation with different levels of criticism, consternation, and standards. Is this the most important election ever? I don't know. I thought we heard that with Hillary. And I thought we heard
it
with Biden.
We did.
And you just asked me off air, if I had to put money down, who do I think will be representing the Republican Party in 2028? And who did I say?
Elon.
I really do. That'd be my guess right now.
It's not a bad guess.
Right.
If you're going to put a short list on there, he's absolutely has to be on it.
So if it's Musk versus Harris, or it's Musk after Trump and Josh Shapiro, would that be maybe the most important? I'm not trying to downplay this, but all the ones with Trump have been viewed a little different. And the differences between every one of the candidates is enormous. I wish we had two or three other candidates to view as an option, and until the voters step up, that's never going to happen. Jason will join us as we lean into his show, starting a little past 3 here on CCO. A minor point that I should know better. Elon, not born in America.
Yeah, South Africa's a bit of ways away,
yeah,
isn't it?
But as you suggested, Donald changed that.
He's got 4 years to make that adjustment.
He'll work to change that. So maybe Elon in the mix. Jason is here. Can we talk a serious topic here? This police arrest, what happened, this neighborhood shooting?
Yeah.
So we had days of no arrest where they, Memphis police were negotiating with this guy, John Sawcheck. And they repeated this Sunday, and he had shot his neighbor days earlier.
Almost killed him.
Almost killed him. This man has a history of mental illness. He was charged with second-degree attempted murder on October 23rd. Was shot once in the neck while pruning a tree near the property line. The bullet fractures his spine and broke his two ribs. The previous week, Sawchuk allegedly told Maturi, touch my tree again, and I will shoot you. And I know Adam asked one question to Mayor Fry on this. And Fry was like, well, you know, we could criticize for being forceful. We could criticize for de-escalating. I thought the comment by Brian O'Hara was more illuminating, the police chief. In this particular instance, we failed this victim 100% because this should not have happened to him. The Minneapolis police somehow didn't act urgently enough to prevent this individual from being shot because police work, they had claimed to detain this guy since April. I think this is October, but regular surveillance outside his house never led to in-person contact.
They said he never left his house. So, like, they were out there in the early morning.
Then do something about it.
I agree. I will say that we're going to have Emily Kosky on, who is one of the most forceful city council people on this issue.
Yep.
And it's hard not to think that if the city council didn't make some noise on this, maybe they still wouldn't have made an arrest. I do empathize with the scenario of if they went busting in on a mentally ill person's house, if they busted down the door and then there was a shootout and they killed the guy, people would be blasting them for killing the guy.
19 but incidents the of length, vandalism.
The 19 calls. Probably even more.
Right?
Yeah.
It's going back to last fall.
It's a total failure.
They
it just is.
Have to be, at some point, more forceful over this length of time.
I think so. I think it is. But until the shooting, you had someone making threats. It maybe didn't. And this is something I think the police need to take a look at what their procedures are for this thing. But the crimes that he was being accused of prior to this were not like the hardcore. There are other warrants out for other hardcore felonies. And those guys aren't being arrested or busted down.
Well, vandalism, property destruction, theft, harassment, hate speech, verbal threats, threats of assault.
Is any of that bust down the house and...
If it's over a year, yes.
I don't know.
I think so.
I think that's the question.
All right, Jason will discuss that.
3:30.
Coming up in 30 minutes here on CCO.